Gary said it, and he did, and you could see Jim Mazzulla go, aha, aha.
He laughed.
Okay.
He laughed. Yo, here
you
we go.
You want it like that? Okay.
All he reached in his back pocket. I got the
receipt. Let me get this thing out of my back pocket real quick. I got some questions for you, big boy.
Gary hates us right now.
I don't hate it. Like, one, they lost the game.
No, I'm saying.
Okay. I'm Herm Edwards. You play to win the game. Like, the whole concept of, like, oh, he got you. If they had won, I would take yes. Right. Honestly, they lost the game. So, what am I asking about? Like, I'm asking because it was a problem.
The big girls love that. Chicks love the last shot opportunity. Somebody give me a napkin so I can wipe my mouth.
All right, it's another episode of the Cedric Maxwell Podcast. I am Josue Pavone. He is Cedric Maxwell. We're joined by a special guest, Gary Washburn of the Boston Globe. Also, one-third of the A-List Podcast, CLNS Media's A-List Podcast. And this episode, just like every episode, of course, is powered by FanDuel. Head over to FanDuel.com/Boston. Find out how you can win big, especially betting on the NFL, the NBA, spreads, all that good stuff. Find out over at FanDuel. That's FanDuel.com/Boston. Max, Gary, welcome back. Heck of a week for the Celtics, right? I mean, you dropped the back-to-back losses. You take care of business on a rare Friday, Saturday back-to-back. And now you're going into a matchup against the New York Knicks. You got a rematch against the Philadelphia 76ers. Definitely want to talk about that last matchup between Celtics and Philly. But I guess the best place to start is, first and foremost, I don't know if you know this, Max. You probably don't, but this is episode 200. So I know, Gary, you must be thrilled. You must be honored that we brought you on. Episode 200 of the Cedric Maxwell Podcast. Come on, give it up for us, Max. Come on. Just the reaction I expected.
Slow clap.
Slow clap. Anyways, all right, I guess we'll get back into that later. But the Celtics, like I said, took care of business at home. The second game against the Toronto Raptors, the latest game, 117-94. And, you know, this is an issue that winning teams or championship-built teams often face, right? Sometimes the lopsided score doesn't always go well, you know, for the other team, especially when they feel like the one that's way ahead is starting to dig in a little too deep. And that was the case, I guess, after this one, or towards the end of it, rather, when the Boston Celtics, Joe Mazzulla, used his final challenge around after the 3-minute mark or the 2-minute mark of the fourth quarter. Dennis Schroeder and the Toronto Raptors didn't like that all too much. And Gary, you got a chance to catch up with Schroeder. What did he have to say about it? Because I was surprised it was made such a thing, especially after Joe Mazzulla addressed it and then it carried over.
Yeah, I think that they were upset. The players felt disrespected because there was a 27-point lead. It was 3:39 left, and it was one of those out of bounds call. You know, is it going to make a huge difference in the game? Absolutely not. Is it gonna make any difference at all? No. So I think the Raptors felt like, come on, man, you're just trying to rub it in. You're trying to, you know, just let us get out of here healthy. Let you guys get out of here healthy. We'll see you again Friday in Toronto for the rematch. But then you calling a timeout, prolonging this thing, and just trying to show us up is a little much. So I think they took it negatively. Joe said he was fighting for his players, but Schroeder told me that it was a disrespectful. You don't challenge nothing when you're up 30 points. I mean, it all depends on how you look at it. I mean, you know, challenges weren't a case in Max's day, but, you know, showing people up or rubbing it in is a part of what has been like that in sports for decades, for years, for generations. When do you let up? When, you know, I mean, Mazzulla had Jason and Jalen in the game deep into the fourth quarter. Toronto, we saw it several times last year where Toronto had to put in its reserves and bench guys before the Celtics did. And the Celtics was up 30 points. So I think the Raptors probably looked at that too. That probably played a factor. Like, why
is Tatum
and Brown still in here? And then I think they went and he put Banton in. And I think Banton replaced White, Like, they didn't even take out Jason and Jaylen when the first kind of
that was the first line of subs.
Yeah, it was like eventually they did, but I think obviously the Raptors probably looked at that. Then they looked at the challenge and was like, okay, man, what y'all trying to do to us? Like, what do we do to y'all? Like, you know, the rivalry is kind of gone. Like, they know, I mean, they're rivals. It used to be, you know, when it was like DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry and
all right, or even in the bubble, kind of.
Yeah, it was exactly. It was Nick Nurse now. Nick Nurse ain't there no more. You know, Fred VanVleet is gone. Lowry, all them dudes is gone. You know, so like, what's up with this?
And so, yeah, I just think it's funny that it was Schroeder to be like, wait, all right, wait a minute. Like, he got into the, like the refs huddle, which is like, why are we reviewing this to begin with? Like,
why are you guys? I mean, both you guys saying that, but I do like what Joe Mazzulla said. He said, "I was fighting for my guys." He said, "Would I be different if Tatum and Brown made that call? Would I say time out there, or now I have other players, lesser players in there, and I'm not going to," he said, I'd be disrespecting them. So I did like his answer, but for me as a player personally, if I was on the Raptors, I'd be bullshit. And I would be writing this one down. And the words I heard after that was that Mazzulla was in the huddle and they were up talking about it, and Schroeder kind of challenged him, like, you know, that's BS. And then I think that the coach said, well, Joe Mazzulla looked at the head coach of the Raptors and said, you're going to let him talk to me like that? And the coach said, yeah, that is bullshit. So this game coming up with the Raptors could have a little sour taste to it. The question I asked, that wasn't a game for Vegas, was it? It wasn't a game for Vegas.
The one Friday is.
Okay, the one Friday will be. So you're going to be trying to pile on points because points make a difference when you talk about being in that particular lineup. So you look mean right now. Damn. Why are you looking for me, man? Like,
he's like, listening to you. He's focused, like, man.
Just got to focus. Somebody just took your call. Max, don't do that. What's that? That's a stereotypical black thing. Man.
Damn, my brother ain't smiling.
He said you got the angry resting face. The angry resting face.
Come on, Max.
I didn't even notice it until you brought it up, Max.
I'm in a great mood. Stop that, Max. Don't do that. Smiling does not mean I'm upset.
It's a beautiful If anything, you can look at it, the Raptors can look at it as you guys trying to run up the scoreboard, but you could also look at it as Joe Mazzulla trying to show the refs that, hey, you guys still not getting this right. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, sure, the score doesn't matter.
There's both sides. If you're that down for your players like that, then that's important to point out.
Yeah.
And that's what I noticed, Gary, because Brissett had
the Raptors will take it.
And Brissett had this look on his face. Like,
I mean, and then I said before, you had Jason and Jaylen playing against their third teamers, you know, and people know, like, Jason trying to put up his numbers, Jason trying to get to 30. He trying to, you know, his season average is down from last year, and you know, because they're so balanced. So Jason's like, listen, I'm going to put up some numbers. I'm going to get my threes up. I'm going to get my shots up. So those guys notice that. There's no relationship between Darko, the new Toronto coach, I don't think, and the Celtics, there's no issues there. So I just thought, and I think Joe can maybe probably get caught up in just the game and doing everything right. And I'm talking about, like, the fabric of the game, challenging every call, making sure, as opposed to, like, okay, let this one go. Hey, Peyton, I'm not going to challenge this. Like, it's just not the right time for that. It's just not.
Well, let's face it too, Gary. For most coaches, when you're in that situation, the game turns into practice, right? Like, you're trying to see, you know, what lineups you can get away with. Obviously, you're getting that opposing team that's not one of your own. So it kind of feels like a scrimmage of anything. Like, I look at it as that's the way Mazzulla's seeing it in week three of the regular season, right? It's still early. So
he's still got to
figure out this second unit, figure out the bench.
But you're also, you know,
guys, how about let's talk about this. Let's talk about just how good the Celtics did look. Yeah. There were some stretches where them boys were rolling. And man, that Porzingis thing right now, and you're playing with all this house money, and then you got Holiday playing the way he's has. Man, this lineup is really good. Now, if you can have Sam Hauser hitting shots like that, Peyton Pritchard knocking down, and the guy who's been greatly maligned or nobody talked about was the Condor. Nobody talks about him anymore. You know, he did a great job in the middle of, you know, of just running around, blocking shots, dunking the basketball. I love what they did last night.
You talking about Luke or are you talking about?
Who's the Condor?
Luke.
I was thinking Luke, but I was
the Condor, man, he's soaring in, brother. You got the, you know what? Listen, stop watching so much TV and listen to it.
Who's
called him that?
Maximum at the game.
Max is the one calling him that. So we're all supposed to call him that because Max is the one calling him that.
Gary, you're sitting right behind me.
I don't hear you.
You should be able to hear me saying the Condor.
And Max, I applaud you. I applaud you for yesterday where it was halftime and they took your seat. They didn't give you, you had to sit where the usher sits while they did an interview. And there's 6'9" Max sitting there waiting to do them to do an interview. And then Max is, I'm sure Max is like, you know what? If these folks don't get up out my seat.
No, Gary.
You were this close to getting to that point.
How about that? Up in here.
You guys are, Gary, I don't get paid by the word, okay? I don't get paid by the word.
Still, you're sitting where the ushers are. You're the Hall of Famer.
They want to ask questions. They want to have a little segment. I'm good with that. Knock yourself out. I'll get over there.
You should have said, all right, I'll see you in the fourth quarter. I'm taking the third quarter.
Wow.
Should have said.
All right, well, Max, I got a question for you then. If this team is so good, if this lineup is so great, why is Joe Mazzulla, why was he in his feelings after that loss in Philly? Like, why was he looking at Gary Washburn's archives and looking at the differential, the 3-point differential, and what happened 7 years ago compared to now, and saying how not much has changed, compared to the way the Celtics shot the 3-pointer in that game. I mean, Max, what did you think in terms of like what went wrong in that game in Philly? Because they had them, man. It was a heck of a comeback in those last couple of minutes.
I mean, you're playing one of the best teams right now in the world, in Philadelphia. Philadelphia's playing as well as anybody.
So number one in the East right now.
You had an opportunity to win that game at home. You know, it's funny, though. If Greg Popovich turned around and asked him that question, and Greg went off, nobody would say anything. But Joe Mazzulla says something, and everybody's, oh, my God, Joe Mazzulla, a cage match with him and Gary. But I just believe that Joe Mazzulla is trying to get as much out of it as he can. Now, I don't think he minds the argument. He's not looking like Brad Stevens was friendly, sugarcoat it, put your arms around you. Joe Mazzulla is just the opposite, guys, and I think we all know that. Is he wants to be feisty? He wants that to relate to his players. So I don't see too many things he said wrong. You know, coaches have their opinions about things. And sometimes they write receipts. And he had written a receipt for Gary. That was the receipt that had to be paid. Yeah. I don't care how long ago it was. That was receipt.
Yeah. Gary, he wasn't Googling your articles right before. Yeah, exactly. He wasn't Googling Gary's articles right before that press conference. He had that one in his back pocket. He had that one in his, okay, let's save this for later for when the 3-point shot's going to be addressed. The 3-point attempts will be addressed in some form of question. And, of course, that happened to be Gary, and that was the very first question. So he went off.
Score early this NFL season with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 money bet. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 money line bet. That's $150 if your team wins. If you've been thinking about joining FanDuel, there's no better time to get in on the action. The app is so easy to use. There's a wide range of betting options, including spreads, player props, over-unders, and more. So visit FanDuel.com/Boston and kick off the NFL season. FanDuel, official partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in Massachusetts. Hope is here. First online real money wager only. $5 pregame money line wager required. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 800-GAM-1234.
Gary said it, and he did, and you could see Jim Mazzulla go, aha, aha.
He laughed. Okay. He laughed. Yo, here
you
we go.
It, you want it like that? Okay.
All he right. reached in his back pocket. I got the
receipt. Let me get this thing out of my back pocket real quick. I got some questions for you, big boy.
Gary hates us right now.
I don't hate it. Like, one, they lost the game. No,
I'm saying.
Okay, I'm Herm Edwards. You play to win the game. Like, the whole concept of, like, oh, he got you. If they had won, I would take yes. Right. Honestly, they lost the game. So what am I asking about? Like, I'm asking because it was a problem. Secondly, three-point shooting for this franchise has been a problem for 7 to 8 years. The whole philosophy of shoot threes or die has not gotten them a championship. If I was covering the Warriors, I wouldn't say a word, right?
Wow.
Because
wow. Yeah.
They got elite shooters. The Celtics have good three-point shooters. They don't have elite three-point shooters. They have streaky ones. Jason, when he's on, he can be on, right? But he's a step below. Same with Jalen is streaky. Hauser, but the point is that I felt just my case in that game when they had a chance to rally, because the Joe was trying to tell me, well, we lost the game in the second quarter. Okay, you could say that, but you didn't lose the game in the second quarter. You lost control of the game in the second quarter. So you were up 11 and you were then down 7 at halftime. You allowed a 39-point second quarter. So you had a chance with a couple of more possessions to maybe go up 16, 18, 20 points in the second quarter. You lost it because you didn't hustle for offensive rebounds. You didn't block out. You let Maxey get to work. You let Embiid get to work. Some of their bench guys hit shots. So, to me, you lost control of the game. But you didn't lose the game. You were down one with 3 minutes left in the third quarter. That's a winnable game. But they decided to start launching threes. Derek White took 11 threes in that game. So I thought it was a fair question to say, did y'all settle, especially when you're shooting twos well? Against Toronto, they were remarkable from the two-point land. They were okay from three. So my point is last year, remember that huddle, if y'all don't remember, where Eric Spoelstra basically told his guys in East Conference Finals, just let them keep shooting threes. That's all they got. All they got, they predictable. Let's stop them from the paint, cut the paint off.
Force Jalen left.
Yeah, let them keep shooting threes. That was the plan, right? So obviously the league knows. The Celtics are in love with the three-pointer. So if that's your strategy, they didn't get it done, you get Porzingis, a dude who can hit mid-range. You get Holiday, a dude who can hit mid-range and also post up. You should be more variant and easier ways to score. So if your whole thing is we're just going to keep shooting threes, they missed 60 threes total in the losses to Philadelphia and Minnesota. And then you lost both games by a combined 8 points. So mix in a two.
I agree with what you're saying like that.
Relevant.
There were at least, I could count them, at least 10 times that they missed Porzingis with the post up. Porzingis had his man on his back, giving the basketball the way he was playing against Philly, scoring, getting him in trouble, getting Embiid in trouble. So I agree that they had opportunities that they kind of kicked away. The same way in Minnesota, Porzingis had the opportunity in those games to get going, and it just seemed like it was a point where everybody was saying, I got to get mine, I got to get mine, I got to get mine. That is where the mentality of the team cannot be if they want to win the championship. If they play collectively and don't worry about who gets theirs, this team to me can win a championship. But if they start thinking that I got to get mine, as Gary said, well, Brown's average is down from last year. Dude, you got your bag. just play the game. Your points are going to come to you regardless. Tatum, you're going to get your back. Points are going to come to you regardless. So your opportunities to score in the paint, you know how I feel about that, are a lot better this year because you have Porzingis, whereas Rob Williams, he was only going to try to dunk the basketball. Porzingis, what he does really well is he posts up and he gets fouled and he goes to the free throw line, and that helps your team out.
Well, that's what happened in Minnesota, if you ask me. Like, it was just like, okay, you go, and then I go. You know what I mean? Like, especially in that overtime. And that's what killed them. I mean, the Timberwolves had the stops that they needed. And, of course, Anthony Edwards went off the way he did. So, yeah, I mean, look, you look at the three-point shot, and it's obviously worth bringing up, especially if that was the approach in the second half when, obviously, things matter more, right? When you have to close things out. And this is something that he's done. This is something he did a lot last year when he was like, oh, When the Celtics would come out of halftime as like a completely different team and not in a good sense, right? And then it would go back to, oh, well, we had a bad second quarter. You know, like what Gary said, like, you can still win this game. You lose control of the game in the second quarter. But when you have a whole second half to make a difference, as we've seen so many times last year, where the Celtics have come back or they just came into the second half with a different attitude and took over the game, that's the kind of approach that we want to see more often, you know?
Yeah, I mean – the whole concept of winning quarters, man, that's a CBA, and that's before your time, Josue. But
that's a what they used to add the points or something. What was a different system?
In the Continental Basketball Association, which was basically the G League before the G League, it was a minor league for basketball.
Okay,
they used to win a point by winning a quarter. Right? They just wanted to be different. So, it was a low budget ABA. I love the ABA. Right? Like, the ABA is the greatest thing since sliced bread. I love the days of the ABA, but the Continental Basketball Association used to give teams credit for winning quarters.
Okay.
So the whole concept of like, well, we won quarters is great, but in it, you play to win the game. Like, I'm like Herb Edwards here. Like, Joe, like he pointed out about the quarters. It's like, but Joe, you allowed a 39-point quarter, so that kills everything. So
he
was right. We lost the game in the second quarter in his eyes because we allowed something abnormal, a 39-point quarter.
How do you think that happened, though? Because you're saying that, but you're saying
That quarter was like they didn't hustle. They got – Philadelphia got a bunch of second-chance points. They hustled more. Maxey got a lot of rebounds, and Maxey's the fastest dude on the floor, so he ran up the floor, got transition opportunities. Like, they just ran the Celtics off the floor. The Celtics, technique-wise, they didn't block out on rebounds. They let Paul Reed and those guys, chucking. Oubre.
Yeah, Paul Reed.
And let's give a shout-out to Oubre. Hope he recovers and gets back on the floor after what happened to him. But I've always liked Kelly Oubre. And as I've said on a previous podcast with A-List, I thought the Celtics should have went after him. I thought he would have been great for them. But he's doing good in Philadelphia, and I hope he gets back on the floor really soon because that's some unfortunate stuff, get hit by car. But, like, he was pivotal. Like, Batum, like those guys did little things, and the Celtics just kind of got caught up, and all of a sudden you allow 39-point quarter. That's going to happen. Like you can't draw out a basketball game. You can't script a game. You can do as much as you want in terms of planning, and this is the way it should be, and this guy only hits 3.5 shots per game. One night, that dude's going to hit 10. This is the league. Right. We sat there and watched Marcus Smart hit 11 threes in a game.
He's got the record. He's got the record.
Like, we've seen that. Like, that happens. And you can go by your, like, well, conventional thinking. But to me, sometimes 39-point quarters happen. I thought the Celtics said before, lost control. But I thought they had a chance to win it late in the third quarter. They didn't score for the last 3:25. Of the third quarter, they outscored 9-0, and then they were in a real hole. I don't even really count that comeback toward Philadelphia. Just kind of blew it. Like, the Celtics decided to hoop in the last 3 minutes of the game and almost came back.
Well, I think when you look at you look at Jaylen Brown's game in Philly, that, you know, he did not have his kind of game. No. And you think about the last two possessions, he knocks down two threes, then he makes a great defensive play, and you still have a chance to win that basketball game. Another thing can be said about that particular game was that you look at Pritchard. Pritchard did not score on that road trip. Did not score. He didn't score a basket.
Zero. He went zero for 11.
He's a guy who's been critical for you. Look at these couple of games in Boston. He has been all over the place, knocking down shots. I'm hoping that he is going to be more of a road player than just a home player. Yeah. Because, you know, it's easy playing in Boston because the fans are cheering you. But on the road is where, for me, that's where the real players are. When you got guys booing you and saying all kind of stuff, that is where you really make your mark. I mean, my thing when I used to come to L.A. is I used to love to make kids cry. I love to make them cry after the game. That was like, I wanted to cry.
That's awful, man.
Crying to their moms and dads. I can't believe what happened.
I love that, man. Grew up in L.A., man. You know how me and my friends, man. Stop that.
He's talking about you.
Don't say that like you didn't know that. You know I grew up in South Central LA.
I didn't even pick up on that.
You know that that's me and my friends, man. Come on, man.
I can't believe Cornbread. I mean, he fouled that man like that.
I hate that. Hate that Cornbread.
I can see Gary at the bus stop right now. The next morning, man, we screwed the Celtics, man. They cheated.
I'll say this, Max. We've talked about this many of times. You were not on the hit list in L.A. ML Carr was. ML Carr would not have
made. Y'all couldn't stand him. ML Carr.
Cats wanted. It was.
No, you could tell when Q brought it. Yeah, when Ice Cube brought it up on the 30 for 30. That's how you could tell.
Carr. That's the dude that folks, cats in the streets wanted. It wasn't Max. Max was like, yeah, he talk a lot of mess, but he get it done on the floor. When it's freaking ML, that brother at the end of the bench. Oh, I love Boston. He waving that damn towel. Brothers about to put a hit on him, man. I mean, that was the guy that folks hated. But yeah,
man, you know the Lakers, what they end up calling ML, they call him Fiddler. No, after Roots, that's what.
I don't even know that reference.
I get it.
We okay, boss? How we feel today?
What's his name? It's like life, right? The one that's like, tell him about the gun line, boss. that dude, right?
Okay.
That type of roller.
So I must read Q. Okay. We just talked about Peyton Pritchard, Holman Road. This is crazy. Okay. Home at the TD Garden, four games. He's shooting 53.8% from the field, 14 for 26, 6 for 14 from three. He's averaging 9.5 points. Wow. On the road, Peyton Pritchard is 1 for 23 from the field, 0 for 16 from 3, and is averaging 0.8 points. He has scored 4 points in 92 minutes on the road. Like, that has to improve. And we'll see what happens when they go to Philly on Wednesday, and then Toronto, and then Memphis, and Charlotte, their next road trip. But to me, the question is, like, when it comes to shot selection and three-pointers, is him pulling up for a 28-footer, is that a good shot on the road? Or is that like, okay, is that self-awareness to be like, I'm not making no shots right now. Like, I need I'm a divert. Or I'm going to try to get myself going. So that's the whole thing. It's not a right or wrong answer, but they need a better bench. And I think that, you know, and I asked Joe about, like, okay, who do you need to see? Like, what do you want to do in terms of, like, getting minutes? O'Shea Brissett. I like Lamar Stevens. For whatever reason, they're not playing Lamar.
He hasn't even seen the floor.
He didn't get in last night. I don't know what's up. You know, Keita. Maybe Keita takes Cornette's minutes. I like Cornette. He plays hard. He's doing – but – to me, he's hurt, though. Hopefully he can get back and give them some kind of, like, maybe another, you know, option at the backup big. But it's like, to me, I like the one thing I don't want to see. If you're a Celtics fan, you don't want Tatum and Brown and all them get tired out by April because the bench ain't been doing their job. You want the bench to do well. And like you said, Max, it's easy to play in Boston. So Pritchard's hit one shot on the road this year. Like, I can repeat the numbers. 92 minutes on the road this year. He has played. He has hit one shot. All the other numbers are about the same. Assists, rebounds. Like, you know, it's just, I don't know what it is. Is it psychological? His offensive rating on the road is 59.
Wow.
Like,
that's crazy. Meanwhile, Hauser is
Max, Bobby, and Amit, the producer, could do a 59 offensive rating in the NBA.
I mean, I think you look at now, and this is, I think it's a big week for these guys. Obviously, I haven't played that many games. You got some good games on the road. Well, you'll get a chance to see if Hauser's able to shoot it like he did in Boston, or you get Pritchard able to knock down shots. I think that's a real good thing for this team. That you can, those guys are the ones who are going to be the difference makers, especially when Tatum and Brown are off the floor. And the amazing thing right now is about when Tatum's on the floor, his plus minus is unreal. I never believed in plus minus, but man, when he's on the floor, the Celtics are a much better team scoring the basketball. And the numbers essentially prove that.
Well, you know, to what Gary was talking about earlier about the three-point shot and shot selection, I mean, it's great when they're falling, right? I mean, Sam Hauser right now, was it 24 for 42 in his last six games? I mean, like, is that realistic, though? What happened? Look what happened last year, right? When this team was unreal from behind the arc, right? It was historic from behind the arc. You know, that balances out eventually. So you wonder what the second unit is going to look like and what the production is going to look like when that eventually happens, when things even out and he's not shooting, you know, over 60% from behind the arc.
Yeah, I mean, I just think I think Brad, if they needed help, will get them another player to come in at the trade deadline, because this is the year. Like, they feel like, because you look around the league, okay, Milwaukee's not as good as people thought. They're struggling right now. Philadelphia's a factor. We'll see about Cleveland and New York. Will they come up and be? Miami, I always think, is going to be there at the end too, because they're the Celtics bugaboo. But the East is to be had. And then the West, Denver's the best team right now. Everybody else is kind of flawed. Phoenix is not playing all that great. The Lakers are off to a slow start. The Clippers just lost to Memphis at home. They have not won since acquiring one of Max's close friends, James Harden.
Why are you coming at me like that? Well, why is my boy? I don't know him like that.
That's your dude. Max's
favorite players, James Harden.
That's your dude, Max.
But so the East is it's to be had. So I think Brad will supplement that bench if needed, but you would like to see the guys that they have now come in and start playing quality minutes. Like you said, Max, started hitting shots, playing well in adverse circumstances, like on the road or whatever. Because you look at some of the other teams, and it's like their benches, they got guys who can get it done on the road. They don't care where they play. They're going to shoot and they're going to score. And that's what you want from the Celtics. And when you sign a bunch of younger guys, Brissett, Stevens, you know, Hauser's kind of come out of nowhere, Pritchard, guys who aren't quote-unquote proven, who haven't done it in someplace else, they got to grow those stripes and be able to get it done in those adverse circumstances. It might take a little time because, you know, if you look at guys like in the history of Jamal Crawford and Lou Williams, dudes are like, oh, if long as there's a basket and a ball, I'm putting the ball in. I don't care. We in Siberia. I'm scoring on this dude. Like that's what they kind of need to take a little pressure off Jason and Jalen. Cause you said before, you don't want Jalen and Jason playing 39 minutes a game. And then suddenly in April, they're both tired. And I'm not saying they're young. They'll get it. They'll gut it out. But what you want them to do is you want them to get some rest. You know, Jalen didn't play the fourth quarter against Brooklyn. You know, like, you want them to get that rest and be ready for April.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. For sure. And you wonder how this team's going to respond when you play a team like Philly, the second time a week later, right? I like how the NBA schedule has sort of done that for this first quarter of the regular season, where you're matching up against your Atlantic Division, teams. You kind of getting them out of the way, right? Those almost back to back, or is it like one game and then 5 days or 7 days later you're playing them again? So I like that for them to get those reps in and to see what the team's going to look like, especially after that. You know, we'll see. We'll see for sure. I mean, between the Philly game and Max, I was going to ask you in front of Gary, because, Gary loved what I did out in New York when Bobby and I did Man on the Street. So, Max, you trying to get it out on the street and outside of Philly, talk to some of these fans? I don't know. You yeah.
So what?
You want to talk to some of these Philadelphia Sixers fans before the game on Wednesday? Bobby and I are going to be out there.
Absolutely not. I'm still right now.
I want to show them the clip. Philly. Still, I want to show them the YouTube Philly, clip of you going into the stands. I want them to see that.
About that, man. People still don't like me in Philadelphia. They didn't like me in Los Angeles. They didn't like me in New York. And there's very few places that I got love, man. Even when I came to and played in Los Angeles, obviously playing with the Clippers, I got booed every game. Every game I got booed. Wow. Only time I got any love that year.
Gary was in there. He was like, boo.
Boo
this man.
First of all, he couldn't afford the Lakers ticket.
No,
you're right.
How much
the Clippers? Bingo. Bingo. Hell yes.
That must have been like $10. He's like, all right, let's go boo Max real quick.
What did my father get me for my 16th birthday? What do you think, Max? Two Clipper tickets.
Clipper tickets.
You did get a chance to come, man.
It wasn't to see Magic in them. It was to see Benoit Benjamin. It was to see Max.
I don't even know that.
Mark Johnson. Norm Nixon.
Do you know who we were playing that
game? Norm went to the Clippers? Norm went to the Clippers? I didn't know that.
No, everybody went to the Clippers because they was cheap and they played in the hood. Before Laker tickets.
Who were we playing that time you came to the game?
I think it might have been Utah. It might have been Malone, early Malone Stockton. It was like, yeah. I think
wow.
Oh, yeah. Wow. My father, two Clipper tickets.
Damn, Gary, he went to a lot of Clippers games. You can tell. He's mad about it.
No, I covered the Clippers years later, but my father, God bless his soul, got me two Clipper tickets for my 16th birthday.
Wow.
That's what's up. That's how it starts, man. You pop the juice in the game.
It is pro basketball. Like, I'll go see the other team. Like, okay. They play this. Max got put in a bad spot. The Clippers in the 80s. I mean, people think Clippers, they thinking Blake and Chris Paul. Like, the youngsters, like, y'all know how bad it was in the 80s. Y'all know how bad it was. Y'all just don't know.
For me, I think of Miles and all them, and the Braves and all that. Like, I think of that Clippers team when I was a kid.
That's real nice, Joe Sway. That's real nice.
But that wasn't a great era either. They were terrible, man.
No, but they were better and more. Like, first of all, they weren't playing in Staples Center. The Clippers played in the Sports Arena. The Sports Arena was where the old Lakers played before they moved to the Forum. Sports Arena was just like the hood state. The Sports Arenas were like the LA City Championship game. It was like, let's say, playing. I'm trying to think of a Boston equivalent of the Sports Arena. Like, I can't really.
White Stadium? High school football, White Stadium, or the Reggie Lewis Center or something like that?
It was like it was right in the hood. It was standing there. It was kind of a public monument. Like, they couldn't tear it down because it had been like, where they had Olympic events, and it was right next to the Coliseum, so that's where the Clippers played. I mean, so yeah, and then the front row seats was like basically like $35-40 back then, front row. But then for the other folks, it was like $12. Come on in,
But you didn't know that the guy who I met there initially was who was always there was Denzel. Denzel was a Penny Marshall was a
huge they had there. Billy Crystal, and then in the 90s.
Oh yeah, Billy Crystal loves the Clippers. Yeah.
The front row.
I'm talking about during the 80s. Those people were big fans. I asked Denzel about that. I said, Denzel, what's your next movie? He said, I can't tell you. I was like, you can't tell me why? I don't want to. And it was actually Malcolm X. I was like, damn, I ain't trying to get no part in the movie or nothing, but it's like, walking out. I was walking out.
Max,
Max gonna tell everybody, especially Malcolm X. He would have been telling everybody.
They doing a movie on Malcolm X and Denzel playing Malcolm. Come on, Max. I know why he didn't tell you that.
Yeah, you would have told the whole team.
I don't blame Denzel.
Was that gonna stop the movie, or you wanted me to go to the Compton swap meet over there and get some tapes and see? You don't understand there's a thing in Compton called the swap place. Oh my God, what was that like?
We could do a whole 30 for 30 on the swap meet in LA.
Oh my God,
that's where you latest movies.
Oh, okay, that's the bootleg spot.
All bootleg. You come back when Training Day, 6 months before Training Day came out.
Gucci pocketbooks, Gucci shoes, every imaginable shoe. Nike didn't even have them, but you were getting Jordans before Jordans even came out. But
yeah, the new Jordans out.
Like, I'll tell you this. So
he was doing a split, the logo.
The Lakers had these alternate. Back a few years ago, Joe, so you probably remember, the Lakers had these alternate black, like they called them the Mamba jersey. Black jerseys with the gold Lakers or whatever. They used to sell them with a swap meet, and now they're three. Like, those joints was like, you could buy the black Lakers jersey.
You said in 93.
Yeah, 93. You could buy the black Lakers jerseys. Like, I was like, that ain't new. Oh, these are fresh. Oh, my gosh. The Lakers got black Mamba jerseys. I'm like, Slauson swap me 93, man.
Yeah, somebody's mad. Yeah,
like,
the guy
you would go, let's say they had one in Boston. You could go and get, like, if Jay-Z had an album that was, like, you could be like, got the new Jay-Z joint right here.
It would be burned.
It would be like a photocopy picture of Jay-Z on the front. But it would be the new album. It wouldn't be super high quality. I wouldn't play for my girl or nothing, but if you wanted the new Jay-Z or the new Drake,
The worst is when you can't play it in the whip. That's how you know it's bad.
The picture Drake was taken like this. Hold on, Drake, stand right there.
I got you. It'll be photocopy and a burned CD, and then the songs would be handwritten in the thing, and you'd be like, "Yep." Got my new joint.
That's gonna do it for this episode of the Century Maximum Podcast.
We gotta do a whole segment on the
Super. We gotta do a whole episode on that, man. I appreciate you, Gary. He's Cedric Maxwell. Like I said, episode 200. That's it, man. That's a big one. We got more coming. Plenty of content coming out, man. Another 100 episodes. Who knows? We'll see. You never know. Gary, before we get out of here, man, any follow up with Joe Mazzulla? You guys good now? You guys. Everything
we're
cool.
Never not good. Joe and I are fine. Like, and I'm not lying at or whatever. Like, I was a little surprised. I was taken off guard. And I love when people are like, whoa, if it would have been me, oh, I would have told that dude, woo, woo, woo. Like, no, you wouldn't have, because he was so surprised. Right. Like, stop that.
Right. You get caught off guard, right.
Yeah, in revisionist history, because Max, you know brothers like that. Oh, Max. If Moses Malone would have
let him talk to you like that,
I'd have put Moses in a headlock and just whooped him up. Like, sure, you would have done that. Like, stop that, man.
All right, man. We'll see what happens next time you tune in.
Joe and I are fine.
All right, cool.
Stay tuned.
We'll see.
All right.